Cooperative Podcast. Hey everybody, Jamie and Sabrina are back for another Canine Cooperative Podcast.
How are you doing today, Jamie?
I'm a little sleepy, actually. I'm very grateful for this coffee today.
Yes.
Yes.
It is a sleepy day.
Yeah. It's very nice.
And that doesn't stop us from chatting.
No. We always chat. We should just have these mics on all the time. I feel like our best chats happen randomly.
They do.
Yeah. So hence why we mic'd up and we sat down with our coffees, because we were having a great conversation about, and all of our conversations stem from the stuff that we're like seeing patterns of. I always find that so funny. It's like the topics that come up, we're like, oh, you're like the sixth person we've talked to about this today. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's kind of where our topics come from. But today's topic is called, you get what you pay for.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So currently we have a bunch of dogs that have come through here that are purebred dogs, mm-hmm. and like perfect specimens,
yes,
if you will,
of their breed,
right? They're well-bred dogs, conformationally and temperament-wise.
Not like a backyard breeder situation,
no.
Like very good bloodlines, like health records, all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. Very responsible breeding.
Yes.
Which if you're considering getting a purebred dog, this conversation's for you. Even if you consider adopt, we'll get there too, while you get what you pay for. But if you've gone through your due diligence of researching the breeder, looking at their bloodlines, their health lines, going through the right way, meeting the parents, picking out the puppy, all of the things, right? Let's say you even didn't do that. You just got a purebred dog. You will get what you pay for.
This is correct. So what do we mean by that? So when people come to us, obviously they, for the majority, are struggling with their dog in some way. If it's either just over arousal or if it's something more serious like aggression, and we can discuss how that comes into play when you do have a purebred dog. But a lot of people will go and get a purebred dog because of what it looks like.
Yeah, or like a picture of an activity out of their head.
Correct. Like what would we do together?
Yes, like one character trait. Like, I like that the dog is very smart.
Yes.
Or I like that dog's coat length or
mm-hmm.
color or the non-shedding or the hypoallergenic or the a lot of times people go for a breed because it's what they're familiar with.
Right.
My parents had
correct
German Shepherds. We've always had Golden Retrievers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just stick with what they know because they knew one, maybe two dogs with a certain personality type that they generalized
to everybody.
Every German Shepherd, every Golden Retriever is this way. But what happens when you do that is a lot of people don't understand the conversation of genetics of how breeds came to be.
Right. So every purebred dog that is in existence because it did a certain job at a certain time. That's why you have purebred dogs, because those lines were literally designed for the farmer,
mm-hmm.
for the hunter, for the gamer,
like, yeah.
And I don't mean video games, but
yeah,
like gaming dogs,
hunters.
Yes,
yeah, like,
exactly.
For dogs to like get rid of rodents on the property,
mm-hmm.
like ratters, like hounds. They weren't meant to like catch anything. They were meant to alert to things, like dogs that are meant to fight lions, chase deer. Like they all have their whole, like
they have their purpose.
And the reason why these dogs look the way they look and you have that breed is because as the human was breeding for a certain skill set, they would pick the best skill set out of each dog and breed that skill set. And then over time, it came together.
And looks the way it does.
And it looks the way it does. And then you have a consistent package that behavior, mentality, mindset, instinct is instilled in. And that's how you got the purebred dog.
So let's talk about this, because this is actually something that came up with a family that we're working with that's really struggling with a bully breed dog that they purchased.
Yeah.
Purebred.
Mm-hmm. Two families, actually.
Exactly. Two families. Beautifully bred dogs.
Yes, both are absolute perfect specimens of the breed as they should be. Physically, health-wise, conformationally, how the dog is put together, how both dogs are put together. But these families are struggling because what the dogs were bred to do and the temperament of those dogs and the instinct of those dogs and the way those dogs approach life in general is in direct conflict with how each one of these families visualize dog ownership.
Right. And that also goes to speak to seeing a specific breed of dog do a certain activity. Mm. So the one family picked this specific breed because they saw one riding a skateboard.
And they were like, that's really cool.
And they went and purchased this breed.
Yeah.
Now, they're struggling.
Yeah.
Because the type of energy that yeah. this dog requires to expend every day and the lifestyle that's required to live a happy life with this dog. So we always talk about filling our dog's buckets. Mm-hmm. And there's four buckets. There's a social, emotional, physical, and emotional.
Mental.
Did I not say that?
You said emotional twice.
Did I?
Yeah.
Emotional.
Take another sip of coffee.
Yes, I know, right? We're tired. Social, emotional, physical,
mental. Yes. So like each dog has those needs, right? And if you're not fulfilling those needs, your dog's going to get frustrated. And that frustration is going to come out in when you're dealing with a purebred dog in a very specific way. So like you'll see this a lot with like border collies or Australian shepherds or things like that where they start herding, H-E-R-D, not hurting, herding people. They'll chase things around, nip at the back of the ankles. They like might bark, excessive barking, things like that. They become destructive.
Then you have the bully breed dogs yeah. that they're not fulfilled. And so then that comes out as very mouthy behavior.
Very frustrated, combative behavior, lots of tug, lots of destruction, lots of like reactivity or fence fighting or mm-hmm. things like that. You've got your terrier breeds, which are highly prey driven and yappy.
You see them going after the family cat.
Yep.
Or animals outside.
Yep. Excessive digging. Mm-hmm. Like, because those are needs within the dog that are hardwired, genetically predisposed
instincts. It's coming out regardless.
And it has to come out because of who the dog has been pre-programmed to be. Now, that's not saying every single golden retriever, bully breed, terrier is exactly the same. They've all got personalities within that. But generally speaking, these dogs were bred for a very specific purpose. So
it should be your intention when you purchase them that yes. is what you are going to expect.
Yes.
Even if it's a higher drive or a lower drive, but to expect that mm-hmm. personality type is yeah. what you're bringing into your home.
And I can speak to this personally because I have a purebred working line German Shepherd. And if I'm not doing the things to fill her buckets on a regular basis, she'll drive me crazy. And that's not her fault. That's who she is. But that's what I knowingly got into when I went to a breeder, I drove 4 hours up to Massachusetts, like four times, I think. I met her biological father. I met her biological mother. I was with the litter a couple of times. I took my kids up. Like I did my due diligence if I was going to get a dog from a breeder. This is the first dog I've ever purchased from a breeder. And I wanted a very specific temperament. And I played with all of the puppies and I picked my temperament. But to this day, she's going to be 4 the end of July. Like if I don't fulfill her mentally, emotionally, physically,
socially.
Thank you. See, we can't even remember ourselves, guys. And socially, if I don't fill those things, her behavior comes out in weird, quirky ways because it has to. It's part of who she is. And I understand that. And so there are days where like I can kind of check myself in my frustration because I'm like, listen, Jay, you dropped the ball today. Like, have you been working this dog? Like, is that why she's standing there staring at you with like a toy in her mouth while you're trying to sit on the couch just like breathing down your neck? Because all you did was like ignore her all day because you were at work or you're tired or whatever. So I knew what I was getting into when I got this dog. Now, when you're looking to get a dog, we encourage people to do your due diligence, because if you're going to pay for a well-bred purebred dog, which we're not knocking that at all. I mean, listen, I have one. You have to accept the fact that you have to read both the pros and cons of the breed.
Just the fine print.
Yeah. Just because the dog's highly intelligent doesn't mean that dog's going to like want to sleep on the couch with you for 14 hours a day on a Saturday because you worked like a dog all week.
And what's important to note too about these kinds of dogs is that you can't just squash the behavior. You know, as trainers, people come to us with these things that they want to have stopped.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not possible. You can't take the drive in a dog and just squash it. You're asking for a major problem. And what I find with dogs, purebreds especially, that have this type of behavior squashed, they turn to aggression out of frustration.
Out of frustration.
And a lot of families are then dealing with an issue of aggression around certain behaviors and events in their life when they're trying to squash this drive.
Well, that's an interesting conversation because we're working with a go figure golden retriever right now who was wildly aggressive, has come at me. Like if you follow our stuff along, you've seen him. And yesterday he was very confrontational about his space, very confrontational about items, especially items he stole where he thought it was going to be a combative situation where like he'd pick up, something he couldn't have, like a sock or a shoe, and he'd be like, I'm going to keep this. And
he also has tactile issues. Yep, like you can't touch him around the neck. Yeah.
But then yesterday, accidentally, when I was working him, my walkie-talkie fell out of my pocket and he immediately ran right over and grabbed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, this is a great opportunity to work on drop. So we started working on drop. But there was a moment where he walked right up to me after I had picked up the walkie-talkie after he had dropped it. He put his mouth on the walkie-talkie, and I will never forget this. This is one of those light bulb moments for me. He put his mouth on the walkie-talkie and he looked me directly in the eye with like almost this question of, "What, can I take this now?" So I just said, take it. And I let go of the walkie-talkie, let him prance around with it, called him back over, held my hand out, said, drop. He put it right in my hand. I was like, okay. So then I called our other trainer, Vicky, over. I was like, Vicky, get in here. She's like, what? I'm like, I told the dog to take the walkie. I said, take it. I said, Vicky, call him. He runs over to her. I said, put your hand out, say drop. He gives her the walkie-talkie. She tells him to take it. He comes over, he brings it to me. Now this is a purebred golden retriever.
That they paid top dollar for.
Top dollar for. That they could not handle at all. And this dog, in a matter of accidental moments, just captured a carry and retrieve.
Which is what they were bred to for. Do. And these dogs, the thing is with these dogs, they almost train themselves because they're so freaking intelligent. Or the things that you're asking them to do is almost innate to them genetically.
Yep.
So when that happened, obviously, we were like, oh, this could be a working line golden retriever that was accidentally purchased, because I'm pretty sure that's not what they were going for.
Yeah.
And now all the frustration
of being understimulated, those buckets not being fulfilled genetically instinctively, is turned into a frustrating combative situation for the dog and for the people.
Yes.
This is not why they got a dog. You know what I mean? But understanding like you got what you paid for. And this is a conversation I feel like I have a lot with our German Shepherd owners because I can empathize. Like they're like, oh my God, she's so vocal. You got what you paid for. Like, and fulfilling drive does not mean you need to go out and get like a herd of sheep or start like retrieving ducks out of a pond.
Yeah, there's definitely ways to manufacture that in a manner where you don't need to own a farm.
Queen, my shepherd's dog, Queen's parents were Schutzhund champions. I don't do Schutzhund. I'm not telling her to go bite people in a field, right? But I do other things with her that fulfill that drive need that I enjoy, that she's enjoys. Mm-hmm. Like we run by the quad, we play fetch. She's doing farm work with me. She's very much a farm dog at our property. Like we hike, we play games. Like we do a lot of stuff to fulfill that. Well, granted, her bloodlines say that she should be going taking down bad guys. Mm-hmm. We're not doing that, but I'm making sure that I'm fulfilling that drive to use her brain and work her body and chase things down in a way that makes us both feel good. So things like for this golden retriever, we're not going to have this dog, you know, finding decoy ducks in the pond out back because they're never going to use that. But
maybe get them to get a beer from the fridge.
Teach them how to get a beer, like teach them how to get the newspaper. Like,
it's those kinds of things. And that's what we notice when the dogs come here. Obviously, when the golden retriever first came, it was a tense few days for everybody. The dog didn't know where he was. And obviously, you know, he's had a relationship with people that has been combative, but within less than a week's time, because that's what we focus on is fulfilling all those cups for those dogs on top of just general obedience training. Man, he turned into a softie.
Oh, he's so nice. And he's so proud of himself.
You can touch him. Yeah. You can put collars on him. You can put a muzzle on him without an issue.
Yeah.
Like it completely flipped on its head, 180 degrees.
Yeah.
And all we really did was fulfill his
his needs. And so understanding, like, and it's not an, like, breed should not be an excuse for
bad behavior.
It's not. Like, that's not what we mean to say. Like, oh, you got a Rottweiler. Of course he's that way. Yeah. You can just allow him to
be surprised when the dog is acting out of their genetic needs.
No.
That's where we go, you got what you paid for. And on the flip side, when you adopt a dog,
you're going to get what you paid for.
You're going to get what you paid for. You got a discount dog.
Yeah.
So you're kind of dipping in the, you know, random bag of genetics and pulling something out. And we've dealt with a lot of families like that where they go and get a dog and you don't know what you're getting. And especially as a puppy, you're just going to add a family member to your family and you have a preconceived notion of what life is going to be like.
Yeah.
And we've had families that have brought us dogs and we're like, oh man, do we feel bad for you?
Personality mismatch.
Yes, total personality mismatch. And what makes it even more difficult is that rescues just guess.
They guess
at what the dog is. I mean, half the labs you're adopting are pit bulls, people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So
lab mix does not mean lab mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and things like that. It's also not common knowledge that one female dog can have a litter, but the fathers of the litter can be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like even within a litter of puppies, you can have a different genetic mix. I think it's up to like three males can impregnate one female in a heat cycle.
That is insanity.
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy. And so that genetic mix can be whatever you get. And like when you're talking about, before we were talking about, you know exactly what you're getting. So if you're looking at a purebred dog, read the list of everything that needs to be done with that dog. And
Google
be like,
search.
Yeah.
Google search people.
Or like join Facebook groups and just read groups of like what people struggle with these. And then be like, does that personality match up with their life? Like, there are so many dogs I would love to have that I'm like, I would never have that. Because my lifestyle does not match up with the personality needs of the dog.
Or financial needs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that too has to be taken into consideration. Because I have been messing around with the idea of getting an Irish Wolfhound.
Yeah.
And then I calculated what it's going to be like to feed that dog raw.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But these are all things that you need to figure out long before.
Yeah. You enter into a contract with a breeder or a purebred of any kind. And like that's something that if you're considering a purebred dog to look at, but just familiarizing even if you're going to go rescue a dog, familiarizing yourself with the breed, if there's a majority of one, will give you a better idea. But genetics in a mixed dog, are just watered down versions. Sometimes you can see a 50-50 split. Like we have a German Shepherd cattle dog that's pretty much a pretty
on
even
both ends, yep.
50-50 split. And like depending on what you're working on and what you're doing, you're like, oh, there's a shepherd. Oh, there's a cattle dog. Like you can see it right out the bat. But with these other things that are like 25% chow and 15% like Alaskan Malamute and like
5%. Don't forget the Chihuahua.
Yeah, there's always a Chihuahua mix in there. Like Pomeranian and then like those dogs are kind of a hodgepodge. You don't know what genetically is going to be predominant there.
But then you have to be very good at temperament testing a puppy.
Yes.
And understanding, like, if you pick the one that's super rambunctious or you pick the one that's shy in the back.
Yeah.
And like, because that's what I have. I pick the shy guy and
The one that everybody's like, oh, he's so quiet.
Did I get what I paid for?
Yeah.
Free puppy.
Free puppy. So those types of things. And when you do, and then when that dog reaches maturity, which is around like a year and a half, two of age, when they're fully developed into the personality and all that kind of stuff. Not that you can't shape that with training and things like that. Of course, we do that all the time. But when you fully know who they are, you then have to be, if you have a personality lifestyle mismatch with your dog, you then have to become the person your dog needs you to be. So right. If you end up like thinking you're getting some roly-poly, like shaggy, lazy dog mix, and it ends up being like 95% collie and wants to run all a day,
yeah.
And you're work from home and your idea of a good time is like a Netflix marathon all weekend. If you want to be successful with your dog, you're going to have to buy yourself a pair of hiking boots and like hit the outdoors. Like you're going to have to become something more, and you don't have to change your entire life, but you're going to have to meet your dog in the middle of somewhere. Like your dog needs to learn how to chill on the couch, but you definitely need to fulfill that need bucket of like, okay, let's go outside and channel some of this drive.
You're getting into a relationship with another being. And you need to fulfill their needs as much as they are fulfilling yours, because that's what people go out and get a dog to think about, how they can fulfill how the dog can fulfill them, not the other way around. Mm.
And that's so key.
And it's not fair to just take the dog out when you want to mess around with it and then put it away when you're done, because they're living.
And you're in a relationship. And in the same token, like if you're like, I want to rescue a dog to be a service dog, and your service dog, that dog does not have the mental, emotional capacity to handle being molested by people or around carts and cars, and they're just an anxious mess because of who they are. It's not fair of you to force your dog into those situations if it's causing them mental and emotional discomfort just because you wanted the idea of a quote unquote service dog.
Right. And picking dogs based on looks is
a big one.
Is what gets a lot of people in trouble. And that's what attracts people to certain breeds.
Yeah.
Right? Because of what they look like.
Yeah.
And we really need to stop choosing our companions of 15 years.
Yeah.
By the way they look.
Yeah.
Because even if you do that with your husband and wife, right? Like,
yeah.
After 15 years, do you really give a shit what they look like?
No, things go downhill real fast after 15 years.
So it's no different than, you know, the way that we pick our friendships and stuff like that. So it's just be very conscientious of why you're choosing a dog, because if you're basing it on like a superficial circumstance, you could be sorely mistaken.
Yeah. And so, like, this whole conversation...
You'd be ending up in divorce.
You could be ending up in divorce.
Doggy divorce.
And this is what a lot of people come in and say, and they have an excessive amount of guilt. Because, listen, if you go out and intentionally choose to get a dog, we're not talking about, like, you inherited a dog. Like,
yes, because we've had that, too. People that had, like, their military son's Mal.
Malinois, and then he got deployed, and now they're like, well, now we have his dog for 18 months.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to do something with this. We didn't choose this, but what are we supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Like, there's situations where you're trying to do right for the dog, or you inherit somebody else's dog, or there's a dog out there that needs a home, and you give it a home, and you're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Those are their situations. But if you're intentionally going, I am going to choose to go out there and bring this being into my life, you have to be fair to both of you and be very clear about what you're getting into, because the amount of guilt that these owners feel when they actively admit to us, usually in tears, I don't think I can live like this anymore.
Or I don't like my dog.
Yeah. The amount of people that actually come to us in tears and after talking with us for a period of time start to cry because they admit that I don't like my dog or I resent my dog. It breaks my heart because I've been there.
Yeah.
And I know what that feels like, and it's a very conflicting feeling. And that's where the moment of I have to make a really hard decision. And the hard decision is, do I get rid of my dog or do I break my habit pattern
and come to the table?
And then, but that comes with giving yourself the space. If you're in that situation right now, if you have a dog where you're like, I don't like my dog, I feel like I'm in over my head, it's not working, that's okay. Give yourself a moment to grieve the loss of the idea or dream of what you thought it was gonna be. Because that's a really real piece. You have to let that go, and you have to grieve that loss of what you thought it was gonna be like when you got this dog. But then you have to decide, am I gonna become the person my dog needs so that we can be successful in our life? Or am I going to choose to find a different situation for my dog that would serve my dog better?
Mm-hmm. You can't put a square peg in a round hole.
Nope.
And you can't, I feel like you also need to have some pretty, a pretty good sense of self-awareness to come to the table as something different and explore what that other side of you could be based on your dog's needs. And it really, it's, I mean, you could surprise yourself. I mean, we've had people grow from that experience and become this whole other version of themselves.
Yeah.
So it's also about maybe opening yourself up to new things.
Giving it a try and surprising yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, one story I do share a lot with people is that we worked, Vicky's dog Dozer was a client of ours first. He was having wildly aggressive moments, much like this Golden.
Yep.
Couldn't get near him in the crate. He tried to attack you in the crate, all this kind of stuff. They adopted him as a tiny baby puppy. Mm-hmm. She was pregnant with her third child at the time. Her older two were real close in age. They were like 3 and 2, and she was pregnant with third by the time he came. We worked with Dozer and them 3 weeks. He was doing great with us. Like, we worked him through a lot of his issues, all that kind of stuff. Right before Dozer came home, they moved houses, and she had a baby, and they had another dog at home, and they brought him home and lived with him for about 3 weeks, and she called me in tears and goes, I love him so much, and he's so much improved, but I can't give him what he needs. And it wasn't for a lack of trying. It was just for a lack of lifestyle mismatch. Yeah. And fortunately for her, Vicky had fallen in love with him when he was with us. And she's like, I'll take that dog in a heartbeat. And now they're thriving because her lifestyle supports what Dozer needs.
Yeah.
And like, but that was a family I give a lot of credit to because they did everything in their power to make
it
work.
And it just was a complete mismatch.
And that was just a genetic, they couldn't have seen it coming. They went out.
And honestly, I feel like that's a lot of the people that we work with. It's a genetic mismatch.
Yeah.
Or a personality mismatch, I should say. And it sucks. It sucks, especially when you get a puppy and you've spent the first year with it and you're really emotionally invested. But that's why we say, if you're going to go out and purposely get a particular breed, it's no mystery of what they were bred for.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to, like the one dog, yeah, he could skateboard, but they weren't bred to skateboard. They were bred to kill things.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you have to really understand what you're bringing into your home, because you will get what you pay for.
Yeah. And even if you grew up around a specific breed, because that's this other bully breed we were working with, they had this type of breed before in two other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Two. That, like, I've met two Romanian people in my entire life. That doesn't mean all Romanian people are like those two specific people.
Right.
Like, do your research about the breed in general, because there are personality anomalies. Like, listen, I've met shepherds that won't,
super mellow,
that won't get off the couch for a raw piece of meat, right?
But those are the dogs that you want to adopt when they're older, so you know exactly what you're getting.
Yeah. But like, I say that to be like, okay, so even if you're choosing, like, because bloodlines do matter, and breeders will breed for temperament just like they will for conformation.
Yeah.
So if you're like, I love German Shepherds, and then you go to a police dog training breeder.
That actually happens a lot to us. I've had three.
Yeah.
Like within the past few years that all got rehomed as police dogs.
Because they are breeding for a specific part of drive. So what is your breeder breeding for is a great question. But also, even if you know the breed, like there are even things like if you take genetics where it's like, there's a dog in the local shelter who's a field lab.
Yes.
Somebody went out and got a lab.
Fox lab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're like, that's a fox lab. And they're like, you know what that is? We're like, yeah, that dog needs a job yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's why they rehomed that dog.
Yeah.
Because they saw lab. But they didn't ask like, well, what are you breeding this lab for? Are you breeding this lab for field trials?
But people don't know. And I also blame that on the part of the breeder. That's a whole nother story altogether. Yeah. But like, I don't know how you adopt a police line working dog. So it's like generally like Czech Shepherds.
To a couple who's like 68 years old.
Exactly. Because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
He was actually older. He was 80.
80 years old and you're adopting a Czech line police shepherd. Mm-hmm. Like.
Yeah.
No.
So it's those kinds of things where, you know, it's.
Like
you need to do your own research because there are breeders that'll just take your money.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I did with Queen when I was like, I don't want a high drive working line mm-hmm. shepherd. I want a family shepherd. So
that's, and she is.
She is.
But she still has the drive.
She still has the drive. She's still a shepherd.
Yeah.
But she, when I went up there, they had chickens running around. Their kids were the same age as my kids. They were in with the puppies. They mm-hmm. had, like, I got to meet the parents of both. Like, they just let the male out of the kennel and like he brought me a boat bumper. It was like, chuck this.
Yeah.
Like great personality dogs, but they were bred to be more versatile family pets than they were for like, yes, they did Schoenhound trials, but they didn't like go out and actually like compete nationally,
yeah.
right? But that's what I was looking for. So of all the German Shepherd breeders, I could have gotten so much closer for like the look I was looking for, I did not want a long-haired shepherd. I wanted a sable short-haired shepherd, but that's not the personality type that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I found the breeder who bred for the temperament I was looking for.
Yep. And at the end of the day, it's far more important.
Yeah. And so things like that where it's like, well, what are you breeding your bull terrier for?
Mm-hmm.
What are you breeding your golden retrievers for? What are you breeding your lab, your golden doodles, your chickadoodles or whatever doodle, burn a doodle, flap a doodle, I don't know, whatever doodle you're breeding for. Like, what are you breeding it for? Are you breeding it for family or are you breeding it for hunting? Are you breeding it for trials? Are you breeding it for obedience? Are you breeding it for competition agility? Like, what are you breeding for?
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're breeding for will pick the predisposition of temperament of what your dog will want to instinctively do later on.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of what's glossed over because just because I got a Jack Russell Terrier one time and he was great, doesn't mean that this different genetic line Jack Russell Terrier is going to be.
Well, and that's the important thing too. There's different lines in every breed. So,
So
do your research.
Yes.
At the end of the day, because you will get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And
if you go to the quote unquote discount rack discount rescue rack and adopt your dog, having a general idea of genetics will help you figure out disposition, but ultimately you've got to become who your dog needs you to be if you want them to be successful when you figure out who your dog is.
Mm-hmm.
and
that alone can stop a lot of problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Frustration is a serious thing with dogs. It's very sad to see dogs that are emotionally, socially, physically, all that
mentally,
kind of stuff,
frustrated. Yeah.
Because it does come out in really shit ways, just like it would with anybody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
I hope this was helpful for some of you guys, whether you're looking to get another dog or you're in a relationship currently with a dog and you're struggling and you're frustrated and you feel some of those points, just to understand, like,
go back to the drawing board.
Go back to the drawing
figure
board.
Figure out what this dog's needs are, because I promise you a lot of the things that people are dealing with, whether it be aggression, over-arousal, mouthiness, things
destruction,
like that, are a direct relationship to those cups not being filled and balanced for their specific breed.
Yeah. Okay, guys. We hope this. We found you found this helpful. If, as always, if you like this episode, like, share. You can always reach out to us on Instagram, Facebook. Give us your questions. Give us your topics you want to talk about, incidences. Maybe we should have a hotline. You can call in, drop us a story. We'll discuss it. We'll dissect it. We're here to help you. That's why we put this podcast out. Hopefully it does and it finds you well. And, yeah, we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.